Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to another thrill-packed and exciting episode of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome again, everybody. This is Brian Myers, and Shane Vanderhart is out of pocket today. So today we have with us a special guest at co-host, Steve Ryker. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing very well. I'm well caffeinated, as always, when I come over here.
You're wired very well.
I am, absolutely.
You know, I don't know what's wrong with you, though. We brought those donuts in, and you passed. They're great donuts.
I know. That's definitely out of character for me.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you can do some do some donuts after the show. But, Ron, what's the name of that place again?
Dutch Oven Bakery
in Boone, Iowa. Shameless plug for those folks, the official donut vendor of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Those people are awesome, and they make good stuff over there. So, yeah, you know, I've been on the road all week. I was down in Kansas on business, and I tell you what, it was just crazy.
Yeah? How was the weather down there?
Well, that's the crazy part. I get down there. I spend the night in Salina, Kansas, Monday night.
Yep.
Get up Tuesday morning. It's, I think, 7 degrees outside. I mean, it was cold.
Yeah.
I start driving down to Garden City, Kansas, which is in the southwest corner of the state.
Sure.
By Tuesday afternoon, it's 53.
That's quite a swing.
I was like, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, it's a very relatively short distance, but holy cow, what a change in the weather.
Those people must use a different type of light bulb down there.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. You'll get that on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, on our VIP line, we have with us a special guest. We have with us Tim Challies.
The one and only.
And Tim is going to be at a conference that's coming up here on December 6th. In Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, this is at Stonebrook Church. It's going to be on December 6th from 1 to 7 p.m. It's going to be Tim Challies and Matt Perman, and they're both going to be there. It includes dinner. Prices, if you sign up in the next few days, you've just got today, tomorrow, and Monday. Prices are $25 for adults and $10 for students.
But that gets bumped at the door if you miss this window, right?
That does. That does. This is going to be a phenomenal conference. I'm going to be there.
Is that why it's phenomenal?
I'm not even talking at it. How about that? I usually don't like to go to conferences I don't get to talk at.
All right. Well, anyway, Tim is pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario, and we're glad to have him on board today. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tim, tell us a little bit about what you anticipate this conference to look like with respect to the subjects you guys are going to be addressing. And I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept, technology to the glory of God. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So Matt and I are pals. Matt Perman and I are pals and have talked about these things a lot. And I'll be addressing technology a little bit more. He'll be addressing productivity a little bit more. But between the two of us, we'll just be looking at how can we live in this world to God's glory? What are some of the new realities we need to be thinking about as we live today in this world? And I'm just looking forward to exploring some of those things with him. And I think there's going to be a lot of interactivity, a lot of questions and answers. So I'm hoping it can be a really, really valuable time for those who come.
You know, one of the things that we look at is that the computer has changed the world probably as much as any invention since the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we as Christians, I think, often have a tendency to ignore it or to pretend like we don't need to engage in it. And I know a big part of your message is about how Christians can utilize technology. Give us a kind of a brief overview of kind of what your thoughts are on that.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you brought up the printing press, because most people tend to believe that the internet, computers, this is the first time humanity has ever had to deal with a big shift in technology. And, of course, you just have to go back 500 years to the printing press to see that people were terrified of the press. They were so afraid of what it would do that we were taking all our ideas and binding them between two covers. So what we now consider as the perfect technology, something as Christians, we think it can do no wrong. We think Bible. We think two leather covers and 1,000 printed pieces of paper between. That's a very novel and a relatively new concept. So humanity has been changed again and again by our technologies. And one of the things we've seen is that Christians and the gospel really eventually dominate every technology. So the best-selling book of all time, that relatively new technology, is the Bible. And we've got no reason to doubt that eventually the best, the most popular app, the most downloaded app, whatever it is, will be the Bible as well. That as the technology matures over many years, that the Bible will go forth that way and God will do his work that way. So I want to introduce people to kind of holistic way of looking at technology to say, look, this is just the latest shift, and we can think about it well, we can use it wisely, we can use it to God's glory, we just need to be aware of the dangers.
And I take it from the study that you've done, there was a similar kind of challenge that faced folks 500 years ago.
There was, yeah, and again, at the time of the telegraph, there was, as the telegraph came, and suddenly there was this explosion of information into people's homes. Again, people were rattled by it. We can go back a lot earlier, over, you know, a couple thousand years ago, to when people started writing information, and back then they would say, if you write things down, that doesn't even count as knowledge unless it's in your head. It doesn't count for anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, we're very glad to have our information on pages and books, and we think that's just fine, that the book remembers the information for us, and we can just refer to it. So we need that historical outlook to see, no, this is new, and we need to be willing to look at it and choose carefully which technologies we bring into our homes, into our lives, into our churches. But it will be okay. This is just the latest, and there will be more after this, unless the Lord returns before that can happen.
But I don't think that this is all roses and pansies either, though, because technology has proven, at least in America, well, especially in America, I guess, to be a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some significant dangers that technology poses for Christians, and if these dangers aren't confronted head-on, have extremely destructive properties.
Well, that's one of the problems, though, with technology, and I'm obviously we've moved a long ways away from printing presses and computers when I say that. What we have a tendency to do is develop a technology and worry about the ethics later. That's mm-hmm. what we do as humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. When we think digital technologies, we tend to think, so even when we think technology now, we tend to think only the newest things. And so we're thinking all the problems that come digitally. Yet just the other day, I was sitting with a group of men, and we were talking about our first exposure to pornography. And for every one of us, our first exposure to pornography was through some printed medium. We found a magazine as kids, you know, hiding somewhere in a friend's house. We came across a box and opened it, and lo and behold, there was a box of pornography. Now, we never blame the book as the medium. We never blame the medium for old technologies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We assume the book is perfect, and some people pervert the book and use it for pornographic purposes. But when it comes to digital technologies, we assume the problem is with the medium. The problem is always with the human heart, right? The human heart
Absolutely.
Will always long to take any technology that can be used for so much good, to bring glory to God, to encourage other people, all of these things, and it will pervert it, it will twist it. So we need to, again, just have that sweeping view of history to see, no, this technology, too, it's not an evil technology, but it will be used for evil if we don't own it, if we don't if we don't think about it biblically.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we are speaking with Tim Challies, pastor of Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario, and he's going to be coming to Ames, Iowa on December 6th for a conference on technology to the glory of God held at Stone Brook Church. And it occurred to me when we were talking earlier about the printing press, Tim, that you know, we need to thank God for the printing press at so many different levels. I mean, first of all, of course, we have the printed word that's been, you know, spread basically to the four winds as a result of the printing press being invented. And also, I would argue that the reason that the Protestant Reformation caught on to the extent that it did and to the speed that it did was also the result of the printing press.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, Tim, I have a whole mess of kids that we... I don't know.
Is it a mess of kids? Maybe it's a gaggle.
Well, they all call me dad. I don't know. But among those are two teenage boys. And I have lots and lots of friends who have teenage kids. And I work in the technology field, and so I get parents coming to me quite often saying, I don't know how to get on top of this. I don't know how to allow my kids access to this or safe access to this. And I think a lot of parents get overwhelmed because their kids get into these technologies. You know, the kids are on Twitter and Facebook and everything else faster and better, I guess, than their parents do. So how do parents, do you have good advice for parents on how to deal with this?
Sure. Yeah, well, I'll be doing a whole session about that, focusing on how to free your home from pornography and those dangers, but of course it extends far wider than that. But what happens when a new technology comes along is that the younger generation tends to embrace it first, and then the older generation trails along behind. Yet we've only got to go as far as the book of Proverbs to see the folly of that, right? Where you let your kids run wild with these things and somehow assume that they won't use them foolishly. And as many parents are finding out, their children have used them foolishly. So parents just need to take responsibility there to explore these technologies, to know how they work, to be ahead of their kids in those ways. And until they understand them, to hold them back from their children, especially younger children. And I really think this porn plague that's hit through the internet, that has, you know, just exploded through the internet, is really the fault of parents who have not understood the technology, understood the dangers, understood how they can properly lead their kids through them. And so it's parents who need to be guiding their kids, training their kids, giving them growing abilities, letting the kids prove their responsibility, and so on. So it really falls on parents to know how to use these things.
So are you one of those weird advocates of personal responsibility? Is that what I'm trying to pick up here?
Yeah, even though I live in Canada, still I believe in personal responsibility.
I'm not sure how that's going to play in some parts of the U.S.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, isn't it? It really just does come down to us doing the hard work. And I tell you, the older you are, the more you feel just, you look at this technology and it just baffles you, right? It just looks like magic. Because you remember a time when this was science fiction. I mean, the iPhone was science fiction 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My son just thinks that's normal, right? That's
right.
All he's ever known, a world where that exists. So he assumes that's normal. The older you are, the more you consider it wizardry. And so you're intimidated by it. You don't get to know it.
Hmm.
I can remember, I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but I can remember when
this isn't the papyrus story again, is it?
No, I'm using a rock and a chisel.
Okay.
No, I can remember when my kids were in high school, and of course, this was a long time ago, shall we say. And what was happening then was, of course, everybody was on AOL, and my kids weren't on AOL. And at that time, I wasn't sure I knew what AOL was. And, you know, this whole business of dial-up and so on and so forth. And I freely admit, Tim, one of the issues that I had was just being behind the curve with regard to, you know, how this stuff all worked, what the dangers were. I mean, I did a lot of things wrong just because I was not on the front end of this thing. I should have been as a parent, but I wasn't.
No, absolutely. And as parents, that's our responsibility to lead in every way. And when it comes to books, we get the medium, we understand it, and we know what to do. We read the book or we find a trusted review, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Snapchat, parents don't know what to do with it, so they don't even bother looking into it and saying, oh, this is why it exists, this is what it's for. Yeah, you're not getting that.
So Tim,
just educating ourselves.
Somewhere someone is listening to this as we speak, and they're going to say, well, great. So you're telling me I'm a parent. I got to take responsibility for this. But how? Are you at this conference, the technology and the glory of God, are you going to get into the how? Are you going to get into the nitty-gritty, the specifics of how we go about doing this?
I will get into some degree of nitty-gritty, right down to install this program on your computer. It's just a plan parents can follow that will help them really get on top of what they have in their house. I mean, most people have no idea that they probably have 20 or 30 different devices in their home that can access the Internet, right? Most people just haven't done that audit. They've collected devices over the years, and they're all there, and they're all still accessible. So
right.
From looking at what you've got to learning what they can do to trying to figure out how we can use those things for different purposes and make sure our kids don't use them for anything but those purposes. Absolutely. We'll talk about all of that, and then there will be open times of questions and answers for people who have more specific questions.
That sounds great.
Tim, we've got less than a minute left. I take it that folks that could attend this conference, that the information that will be given will be, how do I say this, low level enough that even the most clueless of us out there will get what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, and then I always tell people, if you don't figure it out, just go and talk to your smart nephew and he'll fix it for you. So everybody's got someone they can pull upon if some of the concepts are just a little too baffling in the end.
Thank you, Tim, for being with us.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
A lot, Tim. We sure appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And we're back. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Riker sitting in for Shane Vanderhart. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management and Insurance Services in Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all your insurance needs.
You know, Tim sold me my first policy, I think maybe a week after I met him. And
now, that's impressive.
We just keep coming back. We've gotten multiple policies through him.
Hey, Tim is not just a great guy. Tim's a very good agent.
He's a fantastic agent.
And, I mean this when I say this. We would not have been able to get into the moving business without him. because I was getting nowhere trying to find a carrier that would take us on. And it's very, very important to have a particular type of liability in place in that particular industry. So, and Tim made it happen. So anyway, folks, Tim Hibbing, great guy, great agent. You want to check him out.
You can reach him at 515-290-9000. And I wanted to go over with people the just retouch on the conference coming up at Stonebrook Church. This is the Technology and the Glory of God. This is going to be with Tim Challies and Matt Perman, December 6th, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if people want more information on this, they can get it from the Stonebrook website, which is stonebrook.org.
And I think there's also maybe a Facebook page for the conference. I'm not sure, but...
There is, and they can link to that through the Stonebrook.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, we're looking forward to that. We had Tim on the last segment. Looking forward to that conference.
Yeah, very smart guy.
Okay, let's get started on our next subject, which is a grand one. Full disclosure, we pre-record this particular radio show, and we're doing it even earlier in the week than normal because we had to get some scheduling done with Tim Challies. So as we speak right now, we have not heard yet what President Obama plans to do with respect to executive action. But by the time this show airs, everybody will know it.
But, here's the quote. Here's the quote, the money quote that's going to be in my head as I listen to the president speak tonight. When Barack Obama was running for president in 2008, he said this. He said, "I take the Constitution very seriously." True story. He said this. He said, "The biggest problem that we're facing right now have to do with George Bush trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all."
Rapscallion that Bush was.
"And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president of the United States of America."
He has a different definition of reverse than the rest of us.
If you happen to read my Facebook page, a recurring theme on there, a recurring line, is that Congressman Obama would have hated President Obama.
Well, in some respects, he would.
This is,
if he was consistent, which leftists typically are not.
What I would be interested in seeing is a major poll coming out that says that illegal immigrants are prone to vote Republican. What do you think that would change in this country?
Yeah.
You'd see a wall go up so fast.
Oh, I agree. That border would be secured so fast it would make your head swim if those folks coming across the border were routinely voting Republican. You're exactly right. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
It is absolutely, absolutely astonishing to me that the fact that a president, but we've had presidents before that have overstepped the Constitution. There's no doubt about it. He's not the first one. But typically, when a president has overstepped the bounds of the Constitution, it has been during extreme times of war. Abraham Lincoln did it. Roosevelt did it during World War II. We've seen presidents take extraordinary measures during extraordinary times. Never have we seen a president try and tip an election by taking an extraordinary political action.
Well, a lot of times over the last few weeks, we've been hearing about how, well, Reagan did this and Bush did that relative to executive orders. It's my understanding that certainly in the case of Bush, and even more so with respect to Reagan, you're looking at things that involved much less universal application.
Absolutely.
Things involving case-by-case basis as opposed to just, you know, with a wave of the hand, taking action, which is going to, in this case, affect literally millions of people.
Millions.
So, I think we've, and this has been the story of the entire Obama administration, is that, yeah, all presidents tend to, you know, push the envelope with respect to executive power.
Sure.
But the scope and breadth, scale, I mean, whatever word you want to use to describe it, of the actions that these guys have taken have been breathtaking. And it doesn't all require executive order. I mean, just look at our beloved Eric Holder and the Justice Department. You can do an awful lot without involving executive order in terms of promoting an agenda.
Like sending Eric Holder to Ferguson, Missouri?
Well, I suspect we're going to talk about that in just a minute. No, when Holder sends the word out to the state AGs saying, look, if you think that there's a discriminatory element to state legislation, just ignore it. Just ignore it.
Absolutely.
I mean, he did that. I mean, to me, that is power coming from the executive branch that doesn't exist. I mean, it's being used, but it's not supposed to exist. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. It's Brian Myers and Steve Ryker. Steve, you were just about to make a comment before I so rudely interrupted you.
Oh, I kind of got stuck on Ferguson. So I'm thinking about Ferguson now, and Ferguson is poised right now to tip over, and we're very, very deeply concerned about the violence that could come out of Ferguson.
Yeah, and I tell you what, this is so distressing to me. You know, it's like looking back at the Trayvon Martin thing.
Correct.
I have no idea if who was guilty of what in that case down there. I really have no idea. And my point is, nobody else does either.
Well, that's the whole point of having a grand jury, right?
Right. There has to be evidence, clear evidence, with respect to a crime that somebody can get charged with. And what happens in these racially, you know, volatile cases is they're tried in the court of public opinion. And, of course, that's horribly exacerbated when our beloved president ships, you know, Eric Holder down to visit a community and visit with a family. Or worse, if our president himself wades in on the issue, it prejudices the case beyond description. We've got to pay attention to evidence and law here.
On August 8th, the president opened an independent federal civil rights investigation into the death of Michael Brown. This is the president of the United States saying, I believe this is a civil rights issue. Without having, people were still debating about what actually happened. People are still to this day debating about what happened. This
sure.
is the purpose of having the grand jury. Now, had the grand jury come back and said, yes, we see evidence that this police officer acted wrongly, then it might be appropriate to say, why did he act wrongly? Was this a civil rights issue? At that point, a federal civil rights investigation would be warranted,
right.
be just fine. But not on August 8th.
Exactly. At the very least, August 8th was ridiculously early to get involved. That's at the very least. At the worst, they shouldn't have had any involvement at all. But even assuming that it was the appropriate thing to do it on August 8th was just nuts.
And we're going to see there's a tremendous amount of there's a sense that this is some part of America in a microcosm that we're getting to see in Ferguson, and we're seeing questions of entitlement. We're seeing questions of, you know, how do police behave overall, and all of these issues are coming out in Ferguson, and these are worthwhile questions to ask, but not at the end of a burning torch.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's this is where I just kind of shake my head in disbelief, because what appears to be, you know, the MO of some of these folks in the community is, we've prejudged this police officer to be guilty. And if the grand jury comes back and says, we don't have enough evidence, you know, to conclude that, therefore, we, you know, in our judgment, this should not go forward with prosecution, the community then says, okay, we're going to burn down the town. That seems to be the mentality.
Right. You have bad people holding a town hostage, waiting upon a jury.
And forgive me for saying it, but it's at least possible, is it not, that this young man did something really stupid? Isn't it at least possible that he did something way over the top with this police officer, to the point that the police officer felt threatened enough to use deadly force? Isn't it at least possible? Shouldn't we at least consider that possibility before we burn down the town? I don't know. That's just me.
Are we going to throw out the court process, the due process altogether? Because that's what these people are asking. When you release a set of demands upon a community, the way these rioters have in Ferguson, it transcends race. It transcends socioeconomic status. And it speaks directly to us as Americans.
Well, I don't know how soon the grand jury is going to have their findings made public. Have you heard? It's coming up soon, but I don't know when. Anyway, my hope, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I hope there's really bad weather. I really think that'll make a big difference. I mean, if it's cold and it's raining, or it's cold and worse, it's snowing,
yeah,
that will literally help in this situation, because you're not going to have thousands and thousands of people wandering around out in the street if it's 10 degrees and snowing.
That's right. The only people you see huddled outside their office building smoking when it's 20 below.
Yeah, those poor slobs will be out there puffing away on their cigarettes.
Yeah, those are the true diehards. And so we'll find out how many diehards we have in Ferguson.
Yeah. I seriously hope that something like that in God's providence will happen, because I'm very much afraid what's going to happen is, you know, the same sort of thing that we saw 20 years ago in the Rodney King case. You know, we've had a history now in Ferguson of violence and destruction, and I hope by the grace of God it doesn't happen again. That's of course assuming that the grand jury you know, finds in a particular way. Hopefully justice will be done, and hopefully there'll be no violence.
So our prayer for the Ferguson community is for a calm reaction, for a thoughtful reaction, for discourse rather than violence.
And of course our prayer is that the grand jury got it right.
That's right.
And once again, it's not necessarily finding the absolute truth. It's judging the evidence. You know, that's the key. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get it right in an absolute way, but they have to work on evidence. That's the way our system works.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, we are going to come back in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about our friend Jonathan Gruber.
And yeah, he's kind of the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Grab your coffee mugs because we are back with Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. My name is Steve Riker, filling in for the venerable Shane Vanderhart, and sitting here with the venerated Brian Myers.
Oh, so we're broadcasting from a nursing home. Oh, that's kind of what that reminded me of. Anyway, well, this is our news segment, News You Can Use, and we're going to talk about a couple of different topics here. We're going to get started here talking about a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Gruber.
Can we talk about Jonathan Gruber?
We can talk about Jonathan Gruber.
I would love to talk about Jonathan Gruber.
Yeah, he's kind of turned into the gift that keeps on giving. He just a new video seems to surface every other day or whatever. No, the deal that with this guy, this is really interesting. There's a fellow by the name of Rich Weinstein. I think I got that right. He's from Philadelphia. He's not a member of the media. He's not a political type. He's an investment advisor in Philly. This guy was ticked off about Obamacare. Apparently, his rates went up, or maybe he lost coverage. Who knows what happened? But he gets ticked off about Obamacare, so he starts doing some serious research about all this.
Hey, that's a good idea. Who'd have thought?
And he stumbles onto these videos. And he sees, I mean, the stuff that's getting said in these videos by Gruber, this is the smoking gun. And he realizes what he's got here. So he goes to several different news outlets, national news outlets, and nobody gives him the time of day, including Fox News. Nobody cared.
Right.
So then eventually he gives up and he starts
putting
this stuff out on social media.
That's right.
And then the one where Gruber's talking about how stupid the American voter is.
Right.
That thing apparently goes viral or whatever. And then, of course, now all of a sudden...
The ignorance of the American public.
Yep. So now all of a sudden, all the news outlets want to talk to him.
You know, and here's the thing. I've heard people on the left and people on the right bashing Gruber and holding him up as the bad guy. I tend to take a different view of that. I love this guy.
Oh yeah,
this is a guy who pointed out that the emperor has no clothes, and people like you and I, we've been saying this for years, and you and I just kind of went yeah.
Well, that's what's frustrating about all this is, if you were paying any attention, you knew you were getting lied to. You knew, although they were running around saying how transparent they were and how transparent the process was. You knew they were doing all this stuff behind the curtain.
You have to pass it in order to see what's in it.
Yeah, so when Gruber comes out and says all this stuff was being done, you know, behind closed doors, and that they were counting on the, you know, I think he actually used the word stupidity of the American voter. That doesn't come as any surprise to us. If you were paying attention, you don't have to be a brilliant guy. You don't have to understand politics. You just have to pay attention. And those of us that paid attention look at this and we're saying, this is no surprise. I mean, it's glorious to see on TV.
Sure.
But it's not a surprise.
You know, what Gruber did, And the reason why he has gotten so much hatred from the left is that Gruber exposed to America what the elite left
thinks
of America. And that's his unpardonable crime. And that's what Gruber has done that has created so much hatred from him for him coming out of Washington.
Well, and the thing of it is, without Rich Weinstein, nobody would even know who Jonathan Gruber is.
I liken him to Edward Snowden. Well, you know, he just opened it up for the American people.
But the difference is here, Gruber had no idea. When he made these videos, when he made these remarks, no idea that they were going to, you know, explode the way they did way after the fact.
He wasn't trying to be helpful.
Oh, no. No, not in the least. He was over there explaining the process and saying, isn't this cool what we did?
Right. Isn't it amazing how the truth illuminates?
Absolutely. Anyway, so it's fun because it seems like about every other day there's a new video gets released. But all right, we got another topic, which I understand you are really hot and bothered about. What would that be, Mr. Riker? Tell us all what's got you wound up today.
I should just put out a public warning. If my wife is listening to this, she should probably shut off the radio right about now. Because
hey, we do not want to get censored here, okay? So, it's a family show. Remember that.
Did you see, you saw the president's pronouncement about net neutrality?
I did not. I read about it. I don't think I actually saw the video.
So, in a nutshell, President Barack Obama announced that he would like the FCC to oversee the internet, to regulate it like a utility.
Perfect.
Right. What could go wrong, right?
What could possibly go wrong?
Here's what I'm after. You're telling me that the most secretive, least transparent president in history.
Oh no! Is going to be those people are the most transparent. Go read their press releases. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
This man is going to be the protector of net neutrality. That the man who oversaw the largest invasion of privacy in the history of the world is going to keep you and I safe on the web?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that the president who bugged the Senate cloakroom, hacked newspaper reporters' computers, and intimidated whistleblowers like Edward Snowden, this is going to ensure that there are no gatekeepers between me and the information that I want?
Well, here's the thing. Even if someone could convince me that they're actually going to be able to do some good in that regard, Shane and I talked about this, I think, on last week's show. There's a legitimate concern on the part of the users in which they're saying, look, we're paying for this speed, we're paying for this performance, we're paying for this bandwidth. How come I have to put up with the ISP, you know, gatekeeping whether or not I get to use it?
I agree.
I get that.
Sure.
Okay. I understand the frustration. But holy cow, turning it over to the FCC, or perhaps worse, having congressional legislation on this issue, it's over. If you do that, it's over. I mean, think just October 25th, there was an article that came out talking about the Federal Election Commission, Ann Ravel, you know, who wants to regulate. I mean, what they're really after is they want to go after Drudge. But what they want to do is regulate things in such a fashion that if they get everything that they want, even having a chat room would be regulated. Okay. Certainly Caffeinated Thoughts would get caught up in this web. And at the same time that we're dealing with that, we want to give the federal government regulative control over the internet? I don't think so.
If you really want to know what happens to the government, look at the IRS and their treatment of conservatives over the last few years. Do you really want people with that type of mindset regulating our internet? The internet today, folks, forms the underlying foundation of every bit of mass communication that we have.
And it's the last bastion of truly free expression.
This is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical that this stays as far out of the government hands as we can possibly get it. This is not the president. This is not the government that we want controlling our internet.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, I hope my friends on the left will think about this for a minute. Try to be objective. Well, forget that. That isn't going to happen. Pretend that this was Dick Cheney and George Bush pushing for this. Would you be so happy to turn it over to them? I don't think so. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Ryker, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I started our moving business, I couldn't find anyone that would insure us in spite of the fact that I already had insurance on our other business. No one would help us. Then I talked to Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. Tim is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's literally licensed for everything, though home, auto, business, and life insurance are his specialties. He has access to more than 25 insurance carriers. So when no one else would help me get my business insured, Tim Hibbing made it happen. Tim is low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Brian Myers and Steve Ryker. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys.
Now, you know, we've talked a lot about the president and what the president is or is not going to do. What about Congress? What is there a role for them in all of this?
Well, that's just it. And again, because we pre-record, we're pre-recording this on Thursday morning, we don't know exactly what the president is going to say tonight. But here's the thing. Republicans have already taken off the table impeachment. I would imagine that they just have ruled that out as something that politically is just untenable for them. They've also, for the same reason, ruled out a government shutdown. So it's kind of like at some point, there's nothing, no ammo left in the gun. Right.
The Republicans have effectively neutered themselves over and over throughout the last 6 years. I see, call me a pessimist if you want, but I don't see a lot of hope for that to change significantly.
Right, and I think there's a fair number of folks on Capitol Hill that are also wringing their hands, basically saying, "Yeah, we hate this, but what can we do to stop him?" I mean, I think that's more or less what a number of them are saying. Although Steve King, to his credit, has come up with a three-step response to the president's executive amnesty plans. They involve things like, a resolution followed by a censure. And it remains to be seen if anybody in Congress will actually support what Steve King is attempting to do here. But yeah,
so we do have some serious minds.
We do. It's just a question if there's enough stomach, guts, if you will, to actually go through with it. Okay, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about another subject here relative to our quote of the day. So, Mr. Riker, you want to read the quote of the day? It's a little early to do it, but we're going to do it anyway because it's a lengthy one.
I love it. This is from Edward Gibbon. He wrote the seminal book, The Fall of the Roman Empire. And in that, he says, there are five marks of the Roman decaying culture. Concern with displaying affluence instead of building wealth. Obsession with sex and perversions of sex. Art becoming freakish and sensationalistic instead of creative and original, a widening disparity between the very rich and the very poor, and increased demand to live off of the state.
Yeah. I wonder does that sound like anything we're familiar with?
I've often said that liberals in America are fine, wonderful people. They're just bad at history.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was kind of stunned when I first read this quote. I thought, this is kind of like reading the newspaper.
It is. And if you go through and you read his whole book, the whole book over and over and over, when you see the decline of the Roman Empire, one of Gibbon's main points is that the Roman Empire didn't fall from outside forces.
It imploded.
It imploded. It rotted away from the inside. And that's why I love being on this show, because I think this show is a part of fighting against that.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that.
And hopefully someday
we're all trying to figure out what this show is all about. So I'm glad to hear you say that, Steve.
And hopefully someday when I'm old and gray, somebody will call me venerated too.
Oh, did you have to say old and gray? That's just mean. That's just, Ron, remind me, we're not having Riker on the show anymore. He's done. He's done. He's toast. Now that quote is just striking. It really is. Widening disparity between the very rich and the very poor. Increased demand to live off the state. Obsession with sex and perversions of sex. I mean, this literally is like reading the newspaper or turning on the news.
Christians in America are the hope for turning this around.
Well, we definitely need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God upon our nation. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, folks. Thanks for coming on board, and we'll see you later.
God bless. Have a great day.